נפלא. שלום נהיה שהוא עכשיו.
אני מזניח אותה.
אם זה טוב, זה טוב, זה טוב. אני הרופא, לא שמח, אבל
לוק, אם לא מקציפים, מקפיצים לי את הפיוזים, אז אני בסדר.
On page 8, the line that's marked 124, which is by higher mathematical calculation, the line before 125. Although these days you could never tell. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, it's the fifth word. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, as a statement of summary of 2.5 pages of Gemara, some of which we did this morning until what time?
Three.
Until close to 3, 2:30, close to 3. So I'm not going to be able to repeat entirely, but there are two lines of synopsis of this famous incident with Joe Smith was one, and then Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were 2 and 3. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Omar Rabbi Elozar, Rabbi Elozar said, Bo'u re'ei, come, let's reflect. Kama gedola kocho shel busha, the incredible power of shame. Where there was a man by the name of Bar Kamsa who was needlessly shamed. And just to repeat, because it bears repetition probably every single day of the year. Maybe right after Shema or Shmona Esrei, Bar Kamsa should be learned. Every single day, not only Tisha B'Av, that Joe Smith was throwing a party, and he asked his chauffeur to go out and personally invite his good friend by the name of Kamsa. The chauffeur must have been either drunk or a jerk, or maybe he didn't have his hearing aid in that day and the batteries weren't working, so he went. Instead of inviting Kamsa, he went to Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa was Joe Smith's mortal enemy. There wasn't a good word that the two could have had about each other. Bar Kamsa came, and he sits down, and Joe Smith comes and says, why do you have the chutzpah to even come here and defile my house? So Bar Kamsa asked him, let me stay. And he said, no. I'll stay, he says, and I'll pay you for whatever I eat. Joe Smith says no. We don't know who that name is. I mean, so I might as well call him Joe Smith. It's Kamsa and Bar Kamsa we know, but who the person was who threw the party, we don't know. History is kind to him, be'ilum shame, and he gets away without being recorded in history. Because, that's it. There's your troublemaker. A hit and run. Bar Kamsa says, I'll pay not only for what I eat, let me stay and stop embarrassing me and making an issue of it. I'll pay for half of what everyone eats. Get out of here. I'll pay for the entire feast. Get out of here. And he picks him up by the hands and he takes him bodily and he throws him out. The problem that Bar Kamsa had after he was thrown out was not necessarily that he was embarrassed. The problem that Bar Kamsa had that minute was that on the dais and all around there sat a whole bunch of rabbonim, a whole bunch of rabbonim, and they said absolutely nothing. Well, we spent 2 hours in trying to understand simply what was the failure of leadership at that moment. What was the problem? You know. So if you just simply want to write it off once again that it's always the rabbi's fault, you know, I'll let you get away with it now, but that isn't the fact. Now, in summary of that issue, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Omar Rabbi Elozar says, Bo'ura'ei kama gedola kocho shel busha. Take a look at how devastating public shame is. All right? They're human beings. They're not angels. Human beings can do anything they want, as long as it pleases them. Rabbis are human beings. They can do anything they want. But what about the Rabbanu Shel Olam? Ultimately, this led to the Churban, the Gemara said. We learned before. Shaharei Siyeya HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Bar Kamsa. in all the sides over here, in Joe Smith's side, in the rabbi's side, in Bar Kamsa's side, whose side did God take? Whose perspective was God most closely aligned with? And the answer is obviously, Sha'arei Siyei HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bar Kamsa. After all is said and done, he voted with Bar Kamsa. Shehecharivis Beisov V'Sarach Eseichalav. That ultimately, if a person could be so embarrassed and no one does anything, no one says anything, for whatever reason, and again, you want to, I don't know, you have the whole thing on tape? You want to listen to what I think, what was going on? Talk to the engineer over here. Parkoff will let you listen to a tape. But ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu voted with Bar Kamsa. That there was no way in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made peace with the embarrassment and the human degradation that this Bar Kamsa suffered at the hands of others. So we put that Bar Kamsa to rest for now, and let's go on to a second case, which again we alluded to this morning. Still Rabbi Yochanan talking. Atarnagola v'atarnagolta, because of a rooster and a hen, choriv tur malka. The area called Tur Malka, which means Har HaMelech, the king's mountain, was destroyed. Obviously, Tur Malka, in the opinion of most historians, is that it isn't one mountain. Just like Bear Mountains is not one mountain, but it's a whole area. And in Bear Mountains, you can have a half a dozen different settlements and a half a dozen different towns, if not more. Because it's a mountain range. If you wanted to know where this mountain range probably is, then it is no doubt that it surrounds the area of Yerushalayim. It's the outskirts of Yerushalayim. And if anyone has ever driven the road from Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim, you know you have to come up through mountains in a road that was cut through the rock of the mountains, and you've got to come up a little. There is some hilly ground. According to Elon, possibly this is the area. A tarnagola because of a chicken, and a rooster because of a hen and a rooster, choriv tur malka. The end of 125. What happened? The havu nehigi, there used to be an ironclad minhog. The ki hava matke choson v'kala. Whenever a choson and a kala would be taken out of their homes and brought together for a chupa, is matke kamaihu tarnagola v'tarnagolta. They used to carry before the chosen and kala in the procession, one would carry a rooster, a male chicken, and the other one a hen, a female chicken, klomar, and it's obvious what it meant. Peru urevu katal negolim, that the Rabbanu Shalom should be good to you, and you should be fruitful and multiply like the chickens. Yom achad, one day, hava kocholif gudna de ramoi, a brigade of Romans came through the area. In Shaklina Minayo, they took away the chickens. You know why? It must have been a time of the wedding. And the Romans came because there was good booze, or to see if there was too much noise and there was civil disorder. And they came, and ultimately, for some reason or another, they took the two chickens. That were the siman bracha, that was this segula for the young chosen and kala. Because the Romans took away those chickens, there were those in Tur Malka, the naflu alayhu mechonayu. They went ahead and they attacked this brigade and knocked the living daylights out of them for having desecrated this chuppah, this wedding. And how did they do it? By taking just the chickens. Now we're going to have to find, mind you, this is not a halacha. This isn't like what happened other times in the times of the Hashmonaim earlier or later on when Hadrian refused to allow them to do Mila. This is a simple minhag. Do you know in what category you put this minhag? You don't put it in the category of fasting on Yom Kippur. You don't put this minhag of the chickens with sitting in a sukkah. You don't even put this minhag in a category of eating hominkashen on Purim, or kreplach. When do you eat kreplach? Erev Yom Kippur? Kreplach you can eat all the time, right? Sure. Okay. Up your paskin alofa. Kreplach you can eat all the time. Or cholt. Or cholt on Shabbos, right? Aponim volt kahata cholt as in voltus gegessen donnerstig, right? Did anyone ever conceive of eating cholt on Thursday? Never. Huh? Never. Okay? You can't even put this in that category. You know where? You put this chicken in the chicken in the rooster? When your daughter goes to the wedding with a white bendel, with a little red bendel tied around her knee. For that, because the red bendel over there was taken away from the chosen kala, so a bunch of smart people went ahead and attacked the Roman brigade over here and knocked the living daylights out of them. Now let's see what the consequences are. We're on line 127. No, 28. In the middle of the line. Also, after they got the living daylights knocked out of them, the Romans came for Omru Leila Kesar. They told their commanding general, you know what just happened? There's a revolution on hand. You know why they called it a revolution? A merer. Because simply the Romans were there to keep civil peace. And here, the police of the country, of Eretz Yisrael, in other words, the Romans, went ahead and were beaten severely. What do you call that, if not insurrection, if not a merer, if not a revolution? As a result, the commanding general Osa Alayhu came, swooped upon them, and started to take back the shame of having his men beaten. Now, quickly, we're going to go to another thing. Hava Baho, at that time, there existed in Tur Malka, Hahu, a certain individual whose name was Bar Daroma. Bar Daroma. Anyone ever hear of him? I didn't. I'll soon tell you who he is. Bar Daroma was a man to have a kofitz mila, who somehow was able to jump for a mile, and when he landed v'kotel behu, he could kill anyone in his path. And at this time, when the Romans came down on Tur Malka, on this area, because of this instance, because of this little stupidity that set off a war, this Bar Daroma, who was more than a Shimshon HaGibor, he was a Batman, he was a Superman, right? He'd give a jump for a mile, and he'd kill everyone and anyone in his way. Who lived at that time who had such a reputation as being such an incredible superhuman being, a bionic man? Have any idea? Bar Kokhba. Bar Kokhba.
This is the time of the Samigdash.
Is that so? Who said?
Oh, you need that stuff?
Who said? Who said?
Who said it was the time of the Kokhba?
Okay, because of the words Bar Daroma. Bar Kokhba had several names. One was Shimon. The other one was Bar Kokhba, the son of a star. Some called him another name, Bar Koziba. He's a big fraud. Kaladam Kozay. He's the big fraud. He traveled under different names. You say that's strange? You don't know how terrorists work? Every time they change a passport and they go somewhere else? They hit and strike and then they go somewhere else and they have six aliases. Now, I don't know entirely what Bar Daroma is, but I do know that in Yerushalmi and in Medrash Eicha, some of these feats are attributed to the Bar Kokhba and Bar Kokhba only. For instance, in Yerushalmi, the initiation rite into Bar Kokhba's army Well, does everyone have to cut off part of a finger?
No.
Okay. To show loyalty. If you're ready to be marked that way, then you can be an army man by me. Otherwise, go home and take care of yourself. When Chazal, and when the Tanoim found out that there were untold countless tens of thousands of Jews who were maimed because of Bar Kokhba's initiation, they pleaded with him. What are you doing? I mean, you are disfiguring untold tens of thousands of people. There's no other way that you can get them to go ahead and qualify for the army? So he says, Adarabba, tell me what to do. So in disgust, they said, let him go rip up a tree somewhere. Let him find an Erez Balvanon, a cedar tree with deep roots. Let him go rip it up. If they're strong enough to rip up a tree, to uproot a tree, then Mistama, they're strong enough to fight for you. He says, all right. And that's the way he used to do it. He used to come charging in, according to the Rishami, charging in on a horse and sweeping down like a Superman. And as they passed, they would have to wrap their hand around the tree and be able to uproot the tree. That's the way you qualify for Bar Kokhba. All of these crazy stunts, these bionic man stunts, these Superman swooping down were attributed to only one human being, to only one military personality. Who was that? That was Bar Kokhba. And you'll soon see further why I know it is Bar Kokhba. And it's one of his aliases as a terrorist. You will soon see further. When he started to fight as a result of this Turmalka incident, this is where, and you should know that Gedaliah Elon places Turmalka in a mountain range that sweeps from Yerushalayim around Beitar, which is again a primary bit of evidence that this was Bar Kokhba in Bar Kokhba's time, 132-135. Shaklei Kesa Letagei, when this war broke out with Bar Kokhba, with Bar Daroma, they say that the Caesar, the Caesar, the Roman general, took his crown, the Osevei A'aro, he took it off his head and he put it on the ground. That is a sign of humility. The Omar, and he started to daven this way, Ribone de Alma Kula, master of the entire universe, Inichaloch, if it is your desire, I beg you, Lo timserei lahahu gavra lididei, I don't want to be handed over into the hands of this man, Ulemalchusei biyidei, and my kingdom, I don't want to have to go over, to pass over to his hands. If God, this is what you want, I don't want to fall into the hands, dechad gavra, of one man, and that is this Bar Kokhba. Now what he is praying is that indeed Bar Kokhba was the nemesis of the Roman Empire. Here you have that entire Roman war machine, the largest war machine that existed up until those times. And it was confounded, and it was being brought to its knees in one little speck on the map called Eretz Yisrael by one insignificant Jew. His name was Bar Kokhba, a terrorist who had another name also, Bar Daroma, who others called Bar Koziba, a fraud, who Rabbi Akiva called Mashiach. Who Rabbi Akiva carried his kalim, who carried his sword and his bow and arrow because he believed he was Mashiach. And they begged, the Roman emperor begged with a certain sense of humility, please God, don't let me fall into the hands of this man. Well, for 3 years he didn't get his way. But only for 3 years. In 132, 133, 134, and close to 135, Bar Kokhba freed Eretz Yisrael from all kinds of Roman domination. Please someone remind me to talk to you about that after we finish this little piece of Gemara. What was the end of Bar Kokhba? Again, the Gemara lapses into something very strange. This Superman, Bar Kokhba, ultimately achshelei pumei, his mouth got him in trouble. Who lebar daroma? The Omar, he would say, not always, but he arrived at a point of saying, "Halo ato lekim zenachtonu, Dear God, it's obvious that you have neglected us. Ve'lo teitzei Elohim b'tzivoseinu. And you, God, will not come among our armies to fight with us. That's a strange saying. Bar Kochba, Rabbi Akiva holds that he's Mashiach. Bar Kochba to get up and say, you, God, have abandoned us, and you, God, will not join our armies to fight with us? Strange for two reasons. Number one, David Nami Omar Hochi. First of all, this pasuk that we just read appears in Tehillim Samach. And if it's in Tehillim, let's see who authored it. And the author of it was David. So what are you saying that Bar Kochba put his foot into his mouth by saying, you, God, have deserted us and you will not fight in our armies? That's number one. Number two, says the Gemara, David atmohi kom mitamo. You've got to remember that when David said this pasuk at probably a very low life and a very low moment in his military life, he used the word halo. Go back in that line. Is it conceivable, halo atah elokim znachtanu, that you are neglecting us? Ve'lo teitzei elokim b'tzivoseinu, and you won't fight for us? That's a big difference in the way you read it this time, the way David said it, and the way Bar Kochba said it. It seems as if the Gemara is saying, and indeed this was fact, that Bar Kochba reached a point where he realized that he was Superman. Kochi va'otzem yodi asali esakai lazeh, that he and only he is going to rout the military complex called the Romans, and that the Yeshua, the absolute salvation of Bnei Yisrael, rested on him. Now he started out okay. He was an okay boy, and he got the heksher from Rabbi Akiva. And no two ways about it. But ultimately, when you get caught up in making war a way of life, in being the kind of leader that he was, and I'll comment about this in one moment, ultimately it goes to your head. And you start changing the tune that you were singing. David saying, Halloy, is it possible that you, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, have deserted us? And Bar Kochba said, God, I know where you are. You're not with us. And we've got to depend on ourselves. And only we Jews are going to get out of this mess. Let me explain something to you. We Jews are a funny people. It says, we say it in Yiddish, Yeder einer will sich machen Shabbos für sich. Everyone wants to have his own little territory, his own little space, and doesn't want to be bothered with the discipline of coming together under one leadership. Now, before Bar Kochba, which was the year, which was the time of 132 to 135, there was another revolution. I referred to that this morning. That's in the years 115 to 117. It's about 20 years, 15 or so, 20 years before. In 115 and 17, there were little potshots that little pockets of Jews all over took against the Emperor of Rome, Trajan. And ultimately they lost. One thing was very interesting. When in Cyprus the Jews were revolting, in Eretz Yisrael they didn't say anything. In Eretz Yisrael, when the Jews were revolting against Trajan, in Bavel, in Iraq, the Jews kept quiet and didn't send any help. In Bavel, when they started up, so in Armenia, where the Jews were, so still, no one's fighting. Yedot zach gemacht Shabbos fazif. The reason was a very simple one. There wasn't one personality who could get all of these little armies, these little pockets of Jews, the Biryonim, you know, the National Guard in Borough Park, with the Marines in Muncie, with the Navy in Miami, with the Hever, with the police in Passaic, couldn't get them all together and be the one commanding general. Because everyone knew that he's going to do it the way, it's his plan, he knows how to do it, he's doing it himself. You're not coming along with me? You can go. And so the revolt against Trajan in the years 115 to 117 truly failed. And Jews paid heavily for it. By the time 132 comes, 15, 20 years later, there happened to have been one man who was able to take the Navy in Borough with the Marines in Muncie, and the National Guard in Flatbush, and the police in Passaic, and put them all together, Motzach Kishokul, Ein Mol, all together, and they banded together under one man. You know who it was? Bar Kochba. You know that the man did the impossible. What?
15 years later.
That's it. 115 to 117 was Trajan. Okay? We spoke about the Churban this morning in the year 66 to 70. They had... Everyone had their own way in Yerushalayim. There was no coordinated plan. There was no such thing as a bipartisan or a tripartisan or a quadripartisan plan of foreign policy against the Romans. Everyone knew that he was right. Bar Kochba in 132 to 135 was the first Heverman that was able to take all of these characters and say, let's go, guys, you're going to have one commanding general. And Satna and Lubavitch and Chassidim and Misnagdim and Yeshivas and Young Israels got together and they had one man. You know what his name was? Bar Kochba. You know, that can go to the head of one person. Can you imagine one Rebbe today? Okay, one Rebbe today should get the approval, the approbation of all the Hasidim in Borough Park and Williamsburg and Muncie and all the yeshivas in the Kollel movement throughout the United States. You know what's going to happen to that guy? He'll float off the air, he'll float off into the air with an eagle. What? There you are. That's the definition. And that's why Rabbi Akiva said, look, here comes the Mashiach. Can go to your head. What a difference. Give me one sentence. The difference between the way David HaMelech, who also did the same thing. Why is David HaMelech Chai V'Kayom? He was a Mashiach. He was able to take all the 12 tribes and bring them together and hold these maniacs, Kedoshim, V'Ofanim V'Chayis HaKodesh, these Vildechayis called Jews. He was able to hold them together. And there was one David Melech Yisrael. Oh boy, he suffered. His own son wanted to do him in. The famous Avshalom case. And Bar Kochba was David Melech Yisrael, was Mashiach again. He was the Maccabees again. It goes to your head. But look at the difference between David HaMelech saying that apostle, Halo Atah Hashem's Nachtonu, did you leave us alone? With a big question mark. Keli Keli, Loma Azatoni, God, why are you leaving us alone? And Bar Kochba went to his head. He knows. There was no one who could tell Bar Kochba that he's wrong. There was no one who could ask, that he could ask a shayla of. Maybe even his own Rabbi Akiva was no longer big enough to tell him what to do and how to do it. You were saying? Okay? He did. But there reached a point when Rabbi Akiva realized that his Talmud, Bar Kochba, outgrew the Rebbe. Bar Kochba knew better than the Rebbe. Because after all, take a look, it was his personality that was able to coordinate and bring all of these factions together and successfully for 3 years stave off Hadrian. For 3 years. That's an accomplishment. And it's the bigger accomplishment is that look at how he did it. A unified campaign to be able to unify under one leader. And even the loyal opposition, those who came, as we spoke this morning, to Rabbi Akiva at the Seder, and they sat up all night, those who came, ultimately, they didn't think that this was the way, but they certainly didn't go out against the revolution. They didn't do what the Maccabees did earlier before. Each political party going in Damascus to Pompey, and each one promising Pompey if you'll support my Hashgacha, you'll give me Pompey, you'll give me Hashgacha, my Satma Shchita, then I'll pay you for every chicken that we slaughter. Then Satma came to Pompey in Damascus and said, you'll give me Hashgacha on my chickens, then we'll support you. And then Rav Heinemann came from Baltimore and said, and then the OU came, they all came, and Pompey laughed them in the face when he swooped down and he took the whole of Eretz Yisrael. and the Chazar takes domination over the whole of the Jewish nation, promising everyone that he's going to support each one's Hashgacha, Breuer's Hashgacha, and OU Hashgacha, and Sachma, and Heinemann, and Lubavitch. Everyone got promises from this pig called Pompey, and he walks in and tells them all to go to hell. Look at the difference. They weren't doing that. They weren't pussyfooting with Rome. And Bar Kokhba somehow was able to get them together, together with the Rabbi Akiva. So even those who objected, they kept quiet. Let's wait and see. They civilly dissented rather than going out and playing games with the enemy and taking ads in the New York Times. Things like that can go to Bar Kokhba's head. This is an important point in understanding Bar Kokhba. We'll take the Rambam in a few moments. We'll take the Rambam. The Rambam says it all. This is all from the Rambam. This is not just fantasies that I have.
Depending on Bar Kokhba, the majority of the Jewish population, let's say a big chunk of the Jewish population, was already alone. Was after the Chol. What Bar Kokhba was upset about is, if we would have done that when the majority was still here, like 50, 60 years prior to it, so he said to the question, why didn't you create us then? We would have beaten everyone at that time. That's probably what the Goyotin thought.
No question. No question about it. We're not saying you. No question with this. But you see, when you become a person who has to make military decisions every single day, you fall into a certain rut, into a certain pattern, and ultimately by force of habit you make decisions that say the buck stops here and I am the only one that's right. I say it for a million times, this is the millionth time, some of you will vomit when I say it. My only problem with my dear friend Maya Kahana today is I want to know who Maya Kahana asked. Who does he ask a shayla of in case he feels that maybe he has a doubt? And I'm afraid that this is the brach with Maya Kahana. This is the downfall. That he is convinced that there is no one in this world today who understands the shayla that he is going to come to ask. And if no one understands, what do? You pass him for yourself. The mokum she'enish. You be the person. That's the problem.
The same story with Kamsa, with Bar Kamsa, that he was thrown out while the Chachom were looking. The same thing happened in our Knesset. They were condemning Mary Kahana, they were trying to kick him out from the Knesset while the old religious body was staying there saying nothing. After all, he's a Yid, Shomer Mitzvah's the Shabbos. He's a kosher Yid, it's more kosher than the Shabbos.
Don't talk to me about religious political parties, because the last word that was said, the last word that was said about all religious political parties in the Knesset today was said by none other than Yirmiyahu HaNavi. He said it in three words. Echa hoyesozona. Okay? How can you be such a whore? That's it. Religious parties. If you're a party, then it's politics. And if you're playing politics,
that's worse than all three things.
Okay, so the religious parties were already seen prophetically by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and we sit and say kinnis for them. Okay, let's go on. What was the end of this Bar Kokhba? Line 131. A very strange piece of line of Gemara. Second word, Ol Lebeis HaKise. He went to the bathroom because, after all, he was human. Also, Dalkona, and a poisonous snake crawled up on him because, after all, it wasn't a tiled bathroom in those days. He was a military general. He was a guerrilla on the run all the time. So it was an outhouse. Also, Dalkona, and a snake came, Shamte Lekalkeshe, and hissed at him. This rattlesnake hissed at him. And as a result, Shamte Lekalkeshe, his bowels, his large intestines, fell down. So I don't know what that's called. V'noch nafshe. And he died of fright. What's this business? died from a... And look how he died. That his intestines fell down, and that was it. You must understand clearly that when Chazal speak in Agadata, they speak in riddles. They speak in riddles because they cannot say what they want to say. And you have to read between the lines. All the Beis HaKisei, the Mashiach, this Superman, you know what happens? He too had to go to the bathroom. What Chazal is saying in those three words, that he has to go to the bathroom, is that Bar Kokhba, you held that you were a superhuman being. I want to tell you something. I know that you ate this morning, and after you ate this morning, I know where you have to land up. Like every little shoemaker, if it goes in one way, it's going to come in out another way. So don't tell me that you know better than anyone else. You are a human being like anyone else. And in case you don't know, I'll just remind you that I saw you eating breakfast this morning, and as a result, you had to go to the bathroom. And if you had to go to the bathroom, that qualifies you together with me, eye to eye. That makes you no different than me. You are no better than me. You should know, Adam Yesoda Me'ofar, you were created from the same mud as I was, V'Seifa Le'ofar, and you're going to go back and be buried like a human being the same way. And don't you be a lowlife, a snake, to think that your kishkis are any different than mine. You know, when you talk about a person's kishkis, about a person's intestines, what do you say? His ego. Okay, his ego. That's it. We say it in Yiddish today. How can you determine how big a Jewish person's ego is? After all, Rabbeinu Shalom said, you're a holy people, you're the chosen one. And on top of it all, you can give bar mitzvah lessons also. You hear? You know what that does to a person? A goy can give bar mitzvah lessons to someone. A goy is a goy shikop. How can you do that? Now, if you don't understand this insane little piece of Gemara in the cynicism that it was written, that ultimately Bar Kokhba's ego, and what was his ego? That he was a superhuman being, did him in. That was the chait, and Rabbi Akiva realized that he was wrong, then you don't understand the whole thing. Snake? Who do you call a snake? When you're dealing with a human being, when do you call him a snake? When you call him a lowlife, the lowest thing in the world is a snake. And what is the best mark of a human being? The best mark of a human being is, I know that you eat breakfast in the morning, and tonight I know where you have to go. And this is the end of Bar Kokhba. No, go ahead. There you are. That's it. But no, because that's it. To have to move your bowels, that's the tzad hashaveh in every human being. Simple. That's it. Okay. So you go, you try to hide it to make people think that you are a superhuman being. But I know Bar Kokhba, I saw that this morning you had ashtikel herring, and you had orange juice, and a potato mitzmetana, and sour cream, and I know what happens at the end of the day. By that you have to go to the bathroom. Don't you tell me different. Your kishkis are the same as mine. Now all of this was translated into less comical language by the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, where he says that Rabbi Akiva declared Bar Kokhba the Mashiach until he realized he was wrong. For the chatoim of Mashiach, what were his chatoim? What was the chait of Mashiach? The chait of Mashiach was simply to take this stance, to take a pasuk of David HaMelech, who was also Mashiach. If things continued on after Shlomo HaMelech and there wasn't a civil war and the kingdom didn't split, then the whole Jewish history may have been different. But it wasn't that way. But what David started could have been David Melech Yisrael, Mashiach Yisrael. There's no two ways about it. It was promised to him. Started out okay, this Bar Kokhba. But ultimately, He did himself in because he changed one question mark in a pasuk. David Melech asked, "Hello, is it conceivable? Ata Hashem's nachtonu that you're leaving us? Keli keli loma azatani." And Bar Kokhba said, "God, forget about it." A person relies on his own two hands. That's the only way to get through. And this